me that this day would be a great day to talk about faith. To talk about faith. Throughout the year, all of us are given countless opportunities to participate with our time and with our talents in various efforts here at St. Paul's. But today's invitation is a pledge of monies. And each one of us will be given a chance to take a short walk up here to this basket. I will describe it more completely to you in a little while. But I'm beginning with a question for you today of what it means to you, what it means to you to be a person of faith. What does it mean to be a person of faith? A gift of my sabbatical that I may not have mentioned before now was getting to know another family in my neighborhood. I have been friends with my next door neighbor and his two girls for quite some time, and I knew that he and the guy across the street were quite close. And so over sabbatical, with all of us out in the yard and sharing tools, and they let me borrow their riding mower and stuff, I became closer and closer friends with this couple who lives a little bit down and across the street from me, Aaron and Amanda, and they have two children, Ashlyn and Garrett. And even though I tried for a long time not to tell people where I work or what I do, because it has such a powerful influence on the relationship, eventually I had to say, well, I'm a priest in the church. And so, of course, the next thing that happens is we have to start talking about church. And as it turns out, Amanda had been looking for a new church home. She and her husband had been involved in another church community and had moved to our neighborhood and had not really gotten reconnected with the place locally. So she asked me about St. Paul, she asked me about choosing a church and how you really know, you know, what you're going to experience. And so we chatted about it a little bit. And back in November then, her family found a church home, a place that's about a half a mile from our house. It's in RTP, and they've been pretty happy with it. And then 2 weeks ago, we were chatting, and she said, you know, I didn't know back when I talked to you about looking for a church home, I didn't know how many other people were looking for a church home, too. And she went on to tell me that Christy, her best friend, who lives in Morrisville, she and her husband had decided to try this place out, too, because Amanda and Aaron were born there. And then she said that Shane and Misty, who live in our neighborhood too, sort of around the corner and halfway down another block, that they had decided to come. Their child plays with her son, Gary. And then she said she'd been talking about this place to her boss at work, and so now her boss had decided to try it out. So she said, wow, you know, I was thinking about getting a church home, but I didn't know that all these people, you know, needed to find a place to go. I didn't know they needed to find a church too. Well, that story caused me to reflect a bit on the current condition of our culture, sort of the mindset of Americans in recent years. Certainly looking back to 9/11 did give all of us a new sense of vulnerability in our country, a vulnerability that we can't really do anything about, we can't manage on our own. If a foreign soil person is going to come in and create a terrorist act, there's nothing you and I can really do about that. And in recent times, this economic crisis, I know, has many of us feeling more vulnerable. Again, something that gives us fear, but that we don't really know what we can do about or how we can fix it. There are a growing number of people among us who do not have jobs. And if you've been around St. Paul's in the past 5 years, you know that younger people are dying at what seems like an alarming rate. And so there are many, many factors that contribute now to a growing feeling that I have and of you share that the world is just not as safe or as stable as we might have once thought that it was. And so I think it's no surprise that many people who have not been involved in a faith community might want to become involved now at this time. And we're seeing the results of this here at St. Paul's, continually, week after week. We have new people coming through the doors here in search of a church home. And so we're focused on that. We're thinking about that all the time. Often our focus as people on the staff and as leaders, vestry leaders, community leaders, volunteer committee leaders, our focus is upon making St. Paul's a place that is welcoming and accommodating to the variety of people that are coming here. And often the focus of our teaching and our preaching here is that the journey of faith is one which each one of us, each and every person here, must traverse in an individual and unique manner. In a manner which has its own timing, its own character, its own goals, or dreams, or needs, or desires. And so how would we know, how would we ever know if the people coming here are having their faith needs met? That's a wonder of mine. And that question brings to mind what I'll call a precursor to this journey of faith that we talk about all the time, something that could be helpful for us as we anticipate and learn more about our own faith journey. And that something, that little something, is to determine for ourselves what our needs of faith might be. What our needs of faith might be. What do you and I need as people of faith? What is it that we are seeking as people of faith? I would suggest that this is not a whole lot different from a little baby that is crying and a caregiver trying to know if the child is wet or hungry or tired or whatever. We all need to be able to assess for ourselves what it is that will satisfy or calm, or inspire, or challenge, or feed us in this journey of faith. Do I need quiet? Do I need more prayer in my life? Do I need more fun in my life? Do I need a conversation about God or about church? Do I need community? Would I benefit from a class or from reading a book? Do I need my connection with my family to change in some way? Obviously, I could go on and on and on. When I was a child growing up with Christian instruction, I thought that as long as I obeyed the Ten Commandments, all would be well and I would be living faithfully. As a child, I would have defined a Christian or a person of faith, since I only knew the Christian faith, as someone who was always good. Someone who was good. Would that it could remain as simple as that. What is the transition from a childlike faith to a mature faith, to an adult faith? I asked a young man who was raised in the tradition of Christianity, who now practices weekly meditation within a Buddhist community, whether or not he would consider himself a person of faith. I thought he would not. However, he said yes, immediately. And with my surprised look, he went on to explain, "First of all," he said, "I do believe in God. But for me, this is not about whether God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or whether God is Allah or Jehovah or Yahweh. For me, it is not about the name for God, but believing that God is mystery, that God is unknown, that God is beyond anything that I can understand, beyond human understanding, beyond human definition, beyond explanation, or any human system of belief. He said, I'm embracing the mystery and entering into that. And if someone tries to explain it to me, that's what makes me leave. That's what makes me go away. I wonder if you have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a minister, a preacher in Germany at the time that Hitler rose in power. And he believed that in God's eyes, all persons were worthy, all persons had great dignity, and all persons had the right to be free. Well, as you can imagine, Hitler found this preaching to be against his political plan to put the Jews in prison. So what Hitler did is he put Bonhoeffer in prison. And he spent the rest of his life in prison, where he wrote many books. I don't know how many books. And one story that Bonhoeffer told about himself from prison is this. He remembered a conversation he had with a young French pastor back when they had attended seminary together. And they were talking about what they wanted to do with their lives, what the future might look like for them. The French pastor said that he wanted to become a saint. Bonhoeffer said, well, I'm very impressed by that, but I don't agree with that. That's not what I want to do. What I want to do is learn how to have faith. Learn how to have faith. And he went on. At first, he thought he could have faith by living a holy life, by doing the right things, and by believing the right beliefs. And he actually wrote a book about that kind of living, and it's called The Cost of Discipleship. You may have heard of it. But from his ongoing life in prison, he later came to believe that trying always to do the right thing as a way of learning to have faith actually meant the opposite of a life of faith. Think about that for a minute. Trying to do the right thing as a way of learning to have faith, he felt, meant the opposite of a life of faith. He said that when we try to do the right thing, what we're doing is centering on the self. We're counting on ourself to do the right thing. We're taking unhelpful burdens upon ourselves. We're standing apart from life and making an objective decision about how the right thing looks and then trying to follow that path, instead of really living life completely in the world, really embracing the gift that we call life, which includes failures as well as sufferings, as well as successes. Bonhoeffer said that if we are always fixed on doing the right thing, how can we even tolerate our failures and our sufferings? Living in such a way that the focus of our lives is on becoming a good person or becoming a saint puts the focus on only the things that we like about ourselves and therefore has us forgetting the needs that we have, the troubles that we have, and both the successes and failures of our own lives and the lives of those around us. Trying to do good all the time has us living in a way that focuses more on the next life and forgetting about this life. because of his extended time in prison, Bonhoeffer came to believe that doing everything we can as a person of faith in this world means nothing unless we are able to embrace life both in all of its goodness and in all of its suffering. What does it mean to be a person of faith? What do I need, and what do you need to nurture and grow your faith? These are questions I'm working really hard to answer myself, and I hope you'll join me in that quest. And I hope you'll consider today that taking a moment during the offertory and walking up here, whether you have something you give today, whether it's an envelope or your pledge card or 25 cents or your weekly offering, whatever it is, whether you have nothing to bring, I hope you will take a moment to walk up here, and we'll help you organize to do that. And as you do so, whether or not you have anything to give, to place your hand on this basket, which sits at the center of our worship, at the table. Everything we do is centered right here. And just in some way, consider the mystery, the challenge of your own faith journey, and that it is something that we are doing together, that we have an opportunity to learn and grow in faith together.